We're in the book of 2 Samuel this morning. 2 Samuel in chapter number 23. I mentioned the last time we were together, which was several weeks ago, that I'm going to be preaching to the men, and you got out on two Sunday mornings where I didn't get a chance to talk to you. So we have a lot of catching up to do. 2 Samuel 23, if you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, it is the account of David's mighty men. And boy, if today isn't a day where we need some mighty men, I don't know what day we would be living in. If you found your place, can you stand with me while we read a handful of verses together? We're going to look down into verse number 8. Verse number 8 of 2 Samuel 23. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among captains. The same was Adino, the Enznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David when he defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He rose and stood, smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave to the sword, and the sword wrought, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, whereas one piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and the Lord slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And this morning, I just want to preach a simple message, mighty men. Let's pray this morning, if we can. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together here this morning around the Word of Life. We pray that you take truth, and Lord, help us to see that it applies to today. Lord, thank you that the Word of God is not an old book. It's a relevant truth that meets the need of the hour. Guide us, we pray. Protect our meeting now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You'll notice we read only of three of David's mighty men. There's many more. But these are some pretty interesting men, if you read about them, and you with a little bit of discernment here. But I want to mention something. There's a parallel passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. I'm not going to go to that section. We're going to be out of the 2 Samuel passage. But I did want to mention a verse here. It said that in verse number 10 of the 1 Chronicles passage that these also were chief among the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel. Notice this, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. So when you consider these mighty men that David and that the Spirit of God gives us, that stood with David, that the Spirit of God gives us an account of, their heart's desire was to strengthen David so that David would be the king. They wanted him to be the king. So they weren't fighting for themselves. They weren't defending themselves. In many ways, they weren't even defending the nation. They were after, and they were wholly given to the king. So as we start this morning, I want that seed thought to be in your heart. Are you living for the king today? Are you living for yourself to strengthen your own life and your own generations? Or today, are you living for the very purpose that the king would be glorified? Amen. Okay? We live and are living in a pretty interesting time. And I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face, I guess is the way how we say that. We live in the greatest time in the history of the world to be a Christian. Amen. Now, if you've caught any of the news over the last several weeks, you would wonder that our country just flipped upside down. At least I did. When I started watching the news, I didn't really watch that much of the news, but then I really didn't have much else to do, so I thought I'd at least see what's going on out there. And I thought, what is all of this? We're living in a time where we need some mighty men.
Amen.
Who are wholly given to the King.
Amen.
And I'm looking to the men of Bethlehem Baptist Church, and ladies, you could take application, I'm sure, from some of this here this morning, but both young and old, we need some men. Men who are willing to stand up and be men and be proud to be a man.
Amen.
Listen, it's okay to be a man. God made you that way.
That's right.
And you can say that, by the way, no matter what the world would want you to think, no matter what your corporate organizations would groom you to believe. It's okay to be a man. It's okay to be the way that God made you. It's okay to be a woman, too, by the way. And we'll get to those things. But I want to look here first. I want you to see some things here that I think will be super helpful. Notice in 2 Samuel 23, verse number 8, and we see the first mighty man that the Holy Spirit gives us here in the line of David's mighty men. They don't really give him a name in our text here. They call him the Tachmonite, okay, the Tachmonite. Some of the scholars say it's Joshabed Bas Habath. Okay, we'll just call him the Tachmonite. How's that sound? And he is here. He is, notice he sat in the seat, which means he's the chief. He's the head of the three big mighty men of God, okay, or mighty men of David. So there's kind of these ranks that go down. There's three and three, okay, and they work their way down and then to the other. But this is the head guy of the head guys, okay, if that makes sense. And we'll see that that he, and later in that verse it says that he lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Wow. Not even a wow out of you folks this morning. Come on, like 800 people at one time.
Amen.
He was standing there, and there were 800 people against him, and he said, bring it on. He said, is that all you've got? Just 800? You guys are in huge trouble. Do you fold like an old lawn chair at the wind, at the slightest hint of opposition? Come on, men, be honest. Are you ashamed to be a Christian? This mighty man stood in the face of overwhelming circumstances. And let me tell you, he didn't grow up in a time where it was comfortable to be a mighty man of David. It wasn't the best thing to do. It wasn't the norm. He was fighting from the opposite point of view, if you could say it that way. And you see all these Philistines and you see all these enemies coming against him, and there's these overwhelming circumstances facing him. And he didn't fold.
Amen.
Christianity is folding like a wet noodle today.
Right.
And it's because men have found better things to do. Hey, listen, I'm not saying the circumstances aren't easy out there today. Listen, we've got radical politics overwhelming our culture. And listen, I'm not just talking about the radical left. I'm talking about the radical right, too. It's crazy. It's like one extreme feeds the other. What happened to statesmanship? What happened to conversation? What happened to debate? What happened to people talking about the practical, issues of the day? You know, you and I are not benefiting from what's going on in our political realm today. The blue-collar people are suffering today because of the radical environment that our metropolitan communities are producing.
Okay.
It's radical out there. And listen, let me just tell you, whatever side of the aisle you're on, be very careful. Jesus, he was a radical leftist, wasn't he? Oh, no, he was a radical right. Paul was a radical this. Or No. These people were people of the gospel. They were radical Christians.
Amen. Right.
And I think we can get so far away from our message and from our calling that we can begin to identify with politics. And I listen, folks, be very careful. Be aware of the circumstances that you face. Be aware of the landscape of our culture. But my friends, don't identify with anything other than Jesus.
Amen.
We have radical people out there. Radical people. Watch the news. They're popping up all over. At middle schools. At churches. At workplaces. They're radical. They're robbing stores. They're taking people's lives at will. It's horrifying to watch the news. It's like watching a horror film. People just walking down the street and three or four thugs just walk up and beat people senselessly. Are you feeling a little overwhelmed yet? How about the radical sin? Did you know it's Pride Month? And you are not an American if you don't fly that flag. You know, that's what they're telling you. If you don't celebrate the radical sin of this world, then you, my friend, are not American. But it's okay to burn the American flag. That makes you more American than anything. Isn't it such an upside-down world? I just don't get it. Do you? The radical sin, it's Pride Month. I wear my Pride shirt when I go out on Pride Month, right? Bright yellow, y'all saw on Wednesday night. I can tell you how to get to heaven right on the front. And I love wearing it around. I was in Milwaukee the other day, had to drop off one of the people that was helping us, and I stopped at Chick-fil-A with the kids, had my Pride Month shirt on, and it was wonderful. People are like, look at that shirt. Can I get a picture of that shirt? Everybody's looking and, you know, all this stuff. It's like, great, yeah, praise God, amen. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian.
Amen.
This world might tell me that I can't say something and that you can't talk about faith and politics and, hey, this is the workplace. But when the workplace is telling me I have to celebrate the radical sin of this world to be accepted, then tell you what, you've got to listen to what I've got to say because I don't agree with that. Oh, the random violence that's going on right now, and I'm telling you, it's only going to get worse. Listen, when it's okay to go after our Supreme Court justices publicly and nobody does anything about it, it just tells you that the world's getting worse, my friends.
Right.
It's overwhelming. And we're raising kids in this world. And that's why we need some Tachmonites, some men who are willing to stand in the face of this overwhelming tide of this world and this culture with a spear in their hand and say, bring it on.
Amen.
Bring it on.
Right.
I'm not ashamed to be who I am. I'm not afraid to stand with the king. I know where my allegiance is. And if you're going to take my life, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to send me to heaven? Bring it on. He was a leader, again, chief among captains, it says in our text, chief among captains, he was a leader. And listen, men, we're leaders. I don't know how to say this in a way. I'm not promoting men above women in any way, shape, or form, but I'll say it again and again. I think the Bible was written for boys. I do. It's full of this kind of stuff. It's full of men who are winning wars and taking spears and slaying the enemy and, you know, riding on chariots of fire and walking on water. I mean, girls enjoy that stuff kind of, but it's this is for boys. This is boy stuff. Why? Because I believe God wants some men who are leaders. Where are the Tachmonites of our day? Where are they? We're sitting around trying to figure out how to debate people on social media. Why aren't we in our workplaces being vocal about who we are? Why aren't we the chief? Why aren't we the leaders we ought to be? Where is our voice? Our vocal boxes have been castrated by a world that's telling us it's not okay to talk, but it's okay for them to stuff their garbage down our throat. And listen, men, I'm just saying, we need some Tachmonites. We need some men who are going to stand in the face of overwhelming circumstances, overwhelming odds, and say, you're not going to take this ground. I'm standing with the King, and I'm not going to move.
Amen.
He was a fighter, not a fleer. Okay, he lifted up his sword against 800. He didn't run from them. He didn't go, whoa, this is too much for me. I didn't sign on for this. Listen, when you got saved, you signed on for a battle, my friend.
Right.
You didn't sign up for a carnival ride. You signed up for Christianity. And he's not going to wave the white flag of surrender. He stood and fought. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't give up on our family members. We shouldn't give up on our neighbors. We shouldn't be out there belligerently being, ignorant about our words. We should be careful, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
Amen.
But listen, like even amongst our own selves, it's like we're conditioning ourselves to be sissies. Come on, pick up your spear, get your hands dirty a little bit. Let's get out there and be a Christian. Let's not be afraid anymore.
Amen.
Ephesians 6, I was looking at it here before I got up here, but man, I just put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Going down into verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And I read that and I think about the Tachmonite. I think about, the other men, Eleazar and Shammah. I think about these men. They didn't give up. They saw the opposition, the onslaught of the enemy, and they fought. Who's fighting today? Well, we're just going along to get along. We're just going along to get along, preacher. We're just trying to get through so we can get to the pearly gates, unscathed. That's not the life we've been called to. We've been called to Christianity, to stand with the King. And if the world's going to hate him, he's going to hate us too. And yea, anyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
If you're going to stand, you're not standing against anything. You're standing against an enemy. The Tachmonite wasn't fighting the wind. He was fighting an enemy. The Tachmonite wasn't just a fighter. He wasn't just a leader. He was a winner. Whom he slew. Come get some. I think every Christian should be vocal about being a Christian everywhere they go.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care if you're in the grocery store. I don't care if you're at the post office. I don't care if you're at your family functions. I don't care where you are. And it's more than just, whatever. We should be loud when we pray. We should pray for the people at the tables next to us when we're at the restaurant. We should be talking about Jesus everywhere we go. We should be the light. How can you be a light when you have a bushel over the top of your head?
Amen.
He was a winner. He didn't give up and go home. He didn't look at 800 people and say, listen, I can't do this. I'm out of here. He says, no, I'm a warrior. This is what I've been trained for. This is what I have been conditioned for. This is who I am. Men, you're a leader. To stand in the face of the enemy who's coming after your home, coming after your community, coming after your church. It's not enough to sit at dinner time and talk about how bad it is or about how other churches aren't doing right. It's time to take inventory.
Amen.
Get your spear in your hand and get out there on the front line. What do you do when the enemy comes in like a flood? You give up? Find a better hobby? Find a new interest? A new place to hide out? New corner of the basement? New side of the shed? New corner of the field? New activity? Some of us are just hanging on till the rapture comes. We're hoping that the rapture comes soon, right? The times are picking up. Rapture comes soon. Let's get this over with and let's get out of here. Listen, there's too many people who need to be saved.
That's right.
We shouldn't want to leave. Christian, you shouldn't want to go anywhere. You should want to stay here. This is our mission field. There's coming a time when people aren't going to be able to get saved. We're going to watch multiplied millions of people be cast off into a Christless eternity forever. And we're hanging on till the rapture comes because we're afraid of 800 people when we could pick up a spear and get after it? You're more than a conqueror, Christian. The Bible tells us that. In Christ, you're more than a conqueror. You're not, as we heard when Brother Mueller was here, the church is not made to lose, it's made to win. This is Christ's church. He's the leader. He's the one who wants us to win. The only reasons why we're not is because we're choosing to sit down. I'm frustrated with my own life, and I'm frustrated with the people who call themselves Christians. It's hard. We've got all this theology. We've got all this opportunity. We say we've got the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, and yet who talks about it? Who shares it? Who sees it at work? We can come boldly to the throne to obtain grace to help in that time of need. Who's there, my friend? This radical sin and these radical people and these radical politics and this radical world, this radical evil day needs Jesus Christ.
Amen.
800 men who he slew by himself. If God gives me another son, maybe I'll name him the Tachmonite. That would be cool. Who's that? That's the Tachmonite. I'd watch out, man. He can eat a cow in one sitting. And he likes to fight, so watch out. Verse 9. A mighty man named the Tachmonite. A mighty man named Eleazar. This is going to wear me out this morning, I'll tell you that. I'm going to have to go home and take a nap. This is the most work I've done in like a week. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite. One of the mighty men, one of three mighty men whom David, when he had defied the Philistines, were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And I want you to see here Eleazar. He was willing to stand when everyone else was running away. Again, we're just going along to get along, preacher. We're not here to ruffle anybody's feathers. We're Christians. We're just trying to live a peaceable life. We're just trying to live a good life. We're not trying to offend anybody. We're not trying to do anything. Well, this guy fought when he was weak. When everybody else was willing to run away, he stood with the king.
Amen.
And he fought even when he was weak. I don't know about you, but I've been experiencing weakness lately in my life. Oh, man. Physical weakness. I've experienced that. I experienced that. It's hard to get out of bed when when your face hurts so bad and it's just like every ounce of everything is just being sucked out of you. My wife's been experiencing that weakness, leaving her body. Some of us have experienced it through COVID or the flu, and maybe some of us will experience it when we get monkeypox. I don't know. But physical weakness leads to spiritual weakness. Did you know that? You know, it's really hard to read your Bible when you can't open your eyes. And it's really hard to pray when you can't even think about anything but the pain in your body. It's real. Listen, folks, it's real. And you know, physical weakness can lead to spiritual weakness. It can happen. And I think it is a need as we gather for prayers. We think about one another. If God brings people to your mind, as I was laying in bed, God would bring people to mind here at the church, and I'd be praying for them to feel better, asking God to heal their physical needs. But there's personal failure, sin in our lives that can lead to spiritual weakness just the same. We can choose, listen, we can choose to sin. We can choose the personal failures of our lives. Listen, we live in a vile, wicked world. You can access pornography with the tap of a button. Sometimes you don't even need to tap the button. You can just watch the news and you can see pornography. Isn't it fascinating how it's gone, even in my lifetime, how it's gone from something that's in a magazine that you don't ever want your kids to see to something that's scrolling through your news feed. And that personal failure can lead to spiritual weakness. Listen, the Bible tells us just men fall 7 times, but they get back up, right? Would you know what it tells us? Just men will fall. And take heed, my friend. Pride will be the very thing that knocks you clear over the head. Right. Emotional brokenness can lead to spiritual weakness. And there's a reality to all of this. There's physical weakness. There's personal failure. There's emotional brokenness. All of this can lead to spiritual weakness. Are you spiritually weak today? You know, people who are spiritually weak, their tendency is to bow out in a passivity. They look around them. They've fought for a good amount of time. Haven't you heard it? I've been in this church for 30 years, sonny. I put in my time. I'm not doing it anymore. Dropping the sword. You know what that tells me? You're spiritually weak. You're not willing to participate anymore. Your hand has not cleaved to the sword. I've experienced that moment. Some of you carpenter people understand what I'm talking about. You swing a hammer long enough, there's those moments when you're dehydrated and you're swinging away and you're framing something, you're pounding plywood down or you're framing walls, and you go to set your hammer down and your hand just won't open up. You got to pull the handle out like that and you got to pry your fingers back. That's the moment. You're just getting after it and you're working and you're doing your thing and you're not being passive. You're getting to the work. And listen, it's not because you're Superman in any way. It's because you understand there's a job to do.
That's right.
In Christianity, it's, you know, listen, there's a time for weakness, and brothers should understand that, and we should come along and we should help people when they're physically ill. And let me again, thank you, church. You've been helping our family be nurtured in that way. My wife's down. We've got 2 to 3 sick kids at home. I'm down. And what happens? The doorbell rings and Brother Jay drops off some pizzas, or Sandy drops off some meals, and you guys are sending cards. You're helping us. There's that. Why? Because you want us to be spiritually strong. We needed that. Why? Because there's a battle and you don't want preacher to drop the sword. And preacher doesn't want you to drop the sword.
Amen.
And when we bow out into passivity and say, the only thing I'm going to do around here is scrub the floors and take out the trash. That's all I got left. Listen, I'm saying today that's not what should be left. We should fight even when we're weak. Notice in Matthew 7, Jesus says that, listen, the rains are going to descend. The floods are going to come and the wind will blow. What happens to you? Do you stand strong? Or do you crumble? The winds are blowing, my friend. And they're coming for you. The floods are rising. The flood tide of persecution is around the corner for you, Christian. Are you going to stand? If you don't get that flag out in front of your house, you're just not an American. That's what they're telling you. Oh, we need to call the police. They don't have the flag out front. You think I'm joking, friends? It's coming.
That's right.
Will your weak, weary hand cleave to the sword when it matters?
Amen.
How about it, men? Eliezer did. When he wanted to give up, when he wanted to go home, when everybody else was running away, he stayed in the battle. Why? Because it was a battle. It wasn't a foosball game. You know what a battle is? It means there's something worth fighting for. It means there's something the enemy's trying to get from you. It means the enemy's trying to rob you of something. He's trying to take something away from your family. He's trying to take something away from your community. He's trying to take something away from your church. How's your faith today? Boy, the Tachmonite, he didn't care. It doesn't say in our text that the Tachmonite was a man of faith, but he sure didn't care. He was fearless. He looked fear in the face and won. Me and my friend have been talking about this. My buddy John, he's a pastor over in Michigan, and he and I used to go street preaching together all the time. I said, John, what happened to us? We're a bunch of sissies wearing pink ties and funny socks. We used to go street preaching. They used to yell at us and scream at us. They used to threaten us. And here we hide in our offices, Facebooking with people, tweeting. Give me a break. What happened to us? That's a story a lot of us tell, isn't it? You know, when I got saved, I used to tell everybody about Jesus. Man, I wasn't afraid of anything. Then what happened to you? Then what happened to you? Put on your pink tie? How about your prayer? Eleazar stayed in the battle because the battle meant something. There was something worth fighting for. You know, you can't please God without faith, and you can't talk to God without talking to God. And if there's always something more important than talking to God, the enemy's winning. And if it's easier to complain about our president and to complain about our governor and to complain about this radical culture in which we live, then you don't spend any time with God. Is your spouse worth fighting for? How about your family? How about your kids? You think just because our kids are out of the house, some of us, that we don't have to fight for them anymore? Some of you need to fight for your kids no matter which house they live in. Because they're just as influenced by the world as you are. And even more so, this younger generation. You better be praying for your families.
Amen.
You better be standing in the heat of the battle with your hand stuck to the sword, my friend. Fighting next to the king. Because if you're not, you're like the rest of the men of Israel who were gone away. Who gave up. Who said it wasn't worth fighting for faith anymore. Listen, we live in the day of the Laodicean church. It's a day of apostasy. Listen, that's what preachers are telling their churches. In the clear opposition to the Bible, when it says faith is what Jesus is looking for, they're saying, don't take a step of faith. It's not going to work. And then there's the rest of us who know that faith is what God wants from us, and yet we still stand there wondering what to do. In the meantime, our faith is being crushed, our consciences are being hurt, we're giving up on prayer, we're not reading our Bibles, we don't share our testimonies, our relationships with our spouses are being hurt, our kids are going off into the world, and our ministries are being destroyed. Notice in this, isn't it verse 10? And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Again, Eleazar wasn't planning on losing. He was planning on winning, just like the Tachmonite. Planning on winning. But notice the added emphasis here. Isn't it wonderful? The victory was not Eleazar. It was the Lord's victory. But the Lord's victory came through a weak vessel. Lord, I can't win. I can't do this. Right? Isn't that what Paul said? Lord, take this thing away from me. Lord, take this thing away from me. God, take this thing away from me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's not asking you men to stand up and be like, listen, I'm strong, I've got this, I've got that. What he's asking you to do is stay in the battle and not run away because you're standing next to the king. Let him fight for you. Let him wrought a victory through you. He didn't wrought a victory around Eleazar. He wrought a victory through Eleazar. Victory in your home is not going to come because you sat down and let mom be the spiritual leader. Victory in your home is not going to happen because you got on Facebook and wanted to tweet fight with somebody, you know, somewhere else. Victory is going to come when you get on your knees and have a real relationship with God and get direction from the captain of the Lord of hosts. And ask him how to reach this community, how to be invested in your family, how to lead in this day and age. It's about having a real relationship with God.
Amen.
Number 3, Shammah. We got to move along here, verses 11 and 12. And after him was Shammah. And the Philistines were gathered together into one troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, the bean field, right? You've heard it. And the people fled from the Philistines. Notice the story again. It's the same thing. Here's the Philistines gathering themselves together against the people of God. It's the enemy coming up against the church, right? That's the application. And everybody runs. But he, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And again, the Lord wrought a great victory. Why? Because somebody was willing to stand up and say, no! You're not going to stuff that garbage down my throat. No, you're not going to have my kids. No, you're not going to have my community. I just find it interesting as the Tachmonite, you know, fought in overwhelming circumstances. Eleazar fought in the midst of weakness. Shammah fights for something everybody else considered to be a little thing, worth giving up on. It's just a bean field, Shammah. Why are you going to defend that? Because if you don't have food, you don't eat. Right? Why would we want to give up the ground of food? Come on, preacher, you're a little rambunctious. Just calm down, you know. There's just little things. We don't need to get excited about all this stuff. Listen, is your family a little thing, my friend? You know, I'm really struggling to watch the Brewers today. I don't know about you, Brother Kerry, but I'm struggling. Not just because they're a terrible baseball team, and they've always been terrible, and they're never going to win a World Series as far as I'm concerned. Wednesday night before the game, they had a drag show. And I love my son enough to let him watch a group of people who endorse that garbage. It's not even funny. They had a drag show because they're trying to celebrate the radical sin of this culture. Who's fighting for that field?
Amen.
Are you fighting for that field? Well, that's the American Family Council, Wisconsin Family Council. That's their job. No, it's not, Dad. Grandpa? No, it's not. The Wisconsin Family Council is not in my Bible. Men are in my Bible.
That's right.
Leaders are in my Bible.
Amen.
What are you telling your kids, you know, when the world endorses drag your kids to Gay Pride Day? When the bars of Texas are opening up the doors to their gay bars, inviting elementary kids in and having them participate in a drag show. Listen, Christians, most of us flee the scene trying not to offend anybody. And we need to, me and my son have had some wonderful conversations. And I told him, son, this is the world in which you have to reach. This is the world I'm preparing you for. The world is embracing embracing sin that's completely against God's plan for marriage, and they are telling you, you have to embrace this. And I'm telling you, son, you embrace Jesus with all your heart, and he will lead you the right way. I'm not afraid to talk to my 10-year-old son about this stuff because my family is important. It's not a little thing, and I want him to be ready.
Amen.
Is the gospel a little thing, my friend? Is it worth fighting for?
Amen.
Listen, Christianity is running from the gospel. Are you? When's the last time you gave the gospel to somebody? That's not my gift, preacher. That's somebody else's job. You got missionaries, you got pastors, you got the outgoing people, the people with the personality. That's their job. That's not my job. Show me that in the Bible. See, because you're giving up on that field and you're not defending that field and you, like the rest of the people, are fleeing from the enemy when you don't give the gospel. When you're committed to letting people spend eternity in hell forever, you fled from the gospel, my friend. You're giving up on the little things. You're not fighting for those things anymore. And let me tell you something. Priceless eternity is not a little thing. It's not a little thing. There's somebody who somebody's praying for that you may have an opportunity to reach.
Right.
And you hear the Spirit of God say, share the gospel, give them a tract, and you just say, not today. Not right now. Where are the Shammahs who are willing to say that's not a little thing?
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to fight for that field. I'm not going to let that thing go. How about the local church, my friend? Is it a little thing? Is it a little thing? Why do so many Christians have so many other things to do on Sunday? Why is there so many other things to do when God's people want to gather together to worship the God of heaven? Why? Because we don't want to fight for that field anymore. Listen, COVID's made it easy for all of us not to assemble ourselves together, right? We can listen to preacher so-and-so. We can watch this. We can do that. And listen, there's a time and a place for all that. And that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about us who have committed ourselves to not coming to church anymore. We'll show up when it's convenient. We'll do it when it makes sense. We'll do it when we need to check off the box. But as it pertains to a commitment to the things that God died for, they're just not that important to me. I think Jesus loves the local church, don't you? Shammah believed fighting for the little things was important because he understood that everybody else thought it was just a little thing, but he knew the importance of that field. Because when you give up on one little thing, you give up on another.
That's right.
And when you stop eating, then you stop drinking. Because it goes from the lentils to the well. My friend, it doesn't get better. It gets worse because the enemy just doubles back and keeps coming around and keeps taking and keeps taking and keeps taking and keeps coming. And that's why I'm saying we're living in a day and age where we need men. Men, I'm crying out to you today. I need a Shammah.
Amen. Right.
I'm looking for some Eleazars who've been beaten down by the enemy, who know what it means in some way to have fallen, but you're going to get up. You're going to keep your hand to the sword as much as you know how, and the best way that you know how. You're going to keep fighting for the things of God. You're going to stand with the King. I'm looking for some Tachmonites today.
Amen.
Bring it on. Come on. This is what we're here for. I'm a man who enjoys camouflage in the right season. Bow season is when I wear my camouflage usually. There's a time and a place for it and a proper application. Jesus never gave us camouflage, Christian. He never asked you to hide amongst the people. He called us out from the people to be a light set up on a hill so everybody can see us. Now that's somebody else's job. Okay. Hang on to that one. We are all going to have to give account. But I'm telling you, God's looking for some victory today. He's looking for some men and some women who he can wrought a great victory through your life. I'm not telling you need to go out and be angry. I'm not telling you need to go out and beat people over the head with your Bible. I got to be careful what I say here. If it's effective. No, I'm just kidding. What I'm saying is go out there and be a light. Be a Christian, my friend. When people start talking about how cool it is that the Brewers are having a drag show before the game, tell them that's disgusting. Okay. See, that's not right. We shouldn't be grooming. Listen, these are pedophiles grooming our kids.
That's right.
It's in our schools. It's in our libraries. It's in our public. Listen, you know what killed Rome? Homosexuality and pedophilia. And it's like we're living in the midst of it, and instead of being willing to be dragged to the Colosseum to be a Christian, we're willing to just let it happen all around us. And all I'm saying is, man, give me a Tachmonite. Give me a Sham. Give me an Eleazar. I'm ready to get going here.
Amen.
I'm looking for some mighty men and women. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you today that you want to wrought a great victory through our lives. And Lord, we may be weak. Some of us may have been beat up a little bit physically. You see how the enemy's working. Lord, you saw Job. You saw what the enemy did to him. And Lord, you see it. He's beating us up physically. COVID, different strange things going around. Monkeypox. Lord, this is weird stuff. But Lord, you're still looking to strengthen us to hold the sword. And Lord, you see many of us today, there's personal failure. Lord, we're not going to lie. You know it. We stand naked before you. But you're still looking to strengthen our hands so we can hold the sword. But Lord, you know we live in a broken world. And Lord, there's no reason that you can't strengthen us to wrought some great victories in this day. Lord, there's a community that doesn't need a better moral Christian person. It needs a Christian who's considered to be a light. Lord, we need some Shammas. We need some Eleazars. Lord, we need some Tachmonites. Men who are willing to stand with the King and be a light in this dark and dying world. Bless the men of this church and the women, Lord, who can relate to what you're doing in our hearts here this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.